meeting's called to order. Please stand for the pledge. Please remain standing for a moment of silent meditation.
Sal, if we could just keep in our thoughts the Hetrick family. Diane Hetrick, who was a union president, the union president of the STTA for a number of years. Her husband, Bill, was a teacher here for over 30 years. She passed away this past week. So if we could just keep her in our thoughts and her family in our thoughts and prayers.
Thank you, Doug. Before we get started with the regular meeting, I just want to recognize two groups of people. First, for those of you who may not know, today is School Nurse Appreciation Week. And these folks are really one of the unsung heroes of our building. If anybody thinks they're just dealing with sniffles and belly aches, it's far from the truth. These folks really take care of our kids on a day-in, day-out basis. For anybody who's had a serious medical issue, they know what these folks do on a daily basis. On a good day, nobody knows they exist, but most days, a lot of people know they exist. So on behalf of all of us, we thank you all out there. So thank you, and a round of applause for our nurses. This week is also Teacher Appreciation Week, and I think most of us here, or all of us here, would agree that we are blessed with the best group of teachers that any district can have. These folks are spending time with our kids, oftentimes more than we are. They're their leaders. They're helping them academically, socially. They're helping them grow into the fine individuals that they are. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you all for what you do every day, day in and day out. Thank you. Okay. I need a motion for the approval of the minutes, please. Rob, Mike, questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. We got a couple of presentations. I'll turn it over to Jim.
Thank you. For our first presentation, I'd like Mr. Brzezek to come up. We asked Mr. Brzezek to come here with a group of young students. They were involved in a contest, and they were successful in that contest, but we asked them to come here not only to recognize them for their success, but to share a little bit with you exactly what they did. Many of us had gone to see them, and, you know, it's pretty difficult to have anybody to any great length explain our economy, but when they start talking about the European economy, I don't have to say anything more. They'll show you. Because, you know, you can all have fun.
Okay. Diabetes?
If I could ask Mrs. Zeno to come up for the next presentation.
Hello? Thank you. Good evening to Mr. Trippi and members of the Board of Education, Mr. Nolan and our administrators, and members of our Sachem community. Thank you, Mr. Nolan, for acknowledging School Nurses Day, and thank you, Mr. Trippi, as well. We really appreciate it. And thank you also to Mr. Blyberg and Mr. Butel, our administrators, for all their support. I wanted to say that it's actually my honor to represent the Sachem School Nurses and thank them as well for their dedication, including their support of our staff, which last week we celebrated Employee Wellness Week with an active week of activities and programs that were presented to the staff to support wellness in our school district. And I'm really proud of them for, you know, everything that we accomplished last week. I also wanted to thank the board for supporting the diabetic initiative that we started in 2011. Tonight we're going to give you an update, a quick update on what we've been doing in the last 4 years. and also give you an update on the Narcan legislation, which you've been asking about. So thanks again for an opportunity to share the information with you. I'd like to welcome Marianne Sagratello. Marianne is a diabetic educator who started with us in several years ago as a substitute nurse and then went on to become a certified diabetic educator. Marianne is currently the diabetic wellness coordinator at Brookhaven Memorial Hospital's Diabetic Wellness Center. I appreciate everything that Marianne has offered to us. She's really given generously of her own time over the last several years to support the nurses, in servicing the nurses, and in servicing and supporting our staff and community with a slew of information, resources, and support that we've been able to move forward with this initiative. So I'd like to welcome Marianne. And we did have a PowerPoint, but unfortunately I'm not that tech savvy and I can't open up the flash drive. So Marianne's going to be reading from our PowerPoint. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. And thank you for the board for allowing me to speak on this initiative on behalf of Natalie. To sum it up, we did start the SACHM initiative in 2011 in response to the increased diabetes trends in your students here in SACHM and also in the community. 29 million people are diagnosed. That's 3 million more people in the last 2 years, with 8 million people undiagnosed. So with that, what we did was to increase diabetic awareness in the community through education for your staff in the community. We do have, Natalie has been very good in putting all my newsletters and information for children and adults on the SACHM website. So we have a diabetes health watch newsletter, which went up. We also have a diabetes self-management program that is offered through the South Shore and for type 1 and type 2 diabetes, as well as our wellness series, which is not only for diabetes, but it also addresses chronic illness. And it's free to for wellness and prevention to all ages and to families. We also have in-services provided for the staff. So my background being is I'm a registered nurse. I'm also the diabetes wellness coordinator for the hospital and also for the center. In education for resources provided for the students, for the staff, I presented to all the schools and did a review for them. They received educational packets as well. Each nurse and your schools will be receiving booklets on, these are some of the books that are placed in your nurses' offices and in the library that are about diabetes. So the children are able to learn a little bit more. There are cookbooks, there are card books addressing type 1 diabetes. Also, what we've done is to partner up with the American Diabetes Association. We've also collaborated with the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And one of the key things I wanted to do is provide some resources for the nurses so they can provide their services in a safe manner. So we've had in-services on insulin pumps. Most of the children here are on insulin pumps. And we had Animas come in and do an in-service for them as well. We also had one of the other vendors and myself do a pen training for the staff nurses, as well as I presented to the Western BOCES in support for them as a resource center for Nassau and Suffolk County. So they know they can call me either for any questions on both sides. I do collaborate with the other educators on the island as well as other organizations. So I'm pretty much like the hub for the school district and the community. As far as the other programs for the community, we have a self-manager program for adults for type 1 and type 2. The Living Well series that we have collaborates with other healthcare professionals providing yoga, providing walking club. We have a cooking demonstration collaboration. We also, for prediabetes, collaboration with Suffolk County Department of Health. For patients who do not have access to Whole Foods, I've collaborated with the Bellport Community Garden and Cornell Extension. So I'm very into the community as far as resources and providing and taking that back to the school district and letting them be aware of what we have out there as well. And that's it.
Thank you, Marianne. So basically, over the last 4 years, we've really evolved this program. And as Marianne had said, if you go to our SACHM website, either hit the health link and or there's a diabetes tab under health services. And we're always posting information on resources in the community, programming. And again, Marianne has really been invaluable in servicing our own staff. And if there's issues with a student who was diagnosed with diabetes who has a particularly critical situation going on or case, we do turn to her for assistance with assessing and resources along with medical providers. So thank you very much, Marianne. It's really been a very successful program, especially to the 55 currently diagnosed diabetics in our school district. So, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions for them or...
I've also... Do you have questions?
I think Rob has a question.
Just one question. You had mentioned that there's books in the nurse's office as resources. Are there multiple copies for students to bring out or to take home and review?
Oh, that's okay. What I've done is for the nurses, they do have a collection in their books. So if they need to go over with the students, they can give these out. And also my vendors were very nice enough to give me more books to provide for middle school. And this is for elementary school. I don't have enough for the teens, but the nurses have it in their office for the teens. I have the cookbooks as well. The nurses all got instruction books on pumps and insulins and carbohydrate counting books.
Thank you.
The kits. And we have lunchbox kits and everything. Whatever I can provide for them, they get.
Great. Thank you.
Douglas?
If I caught that right, we currently have 55 students. District, is that at the elementary or is district-wide?
District-wide, 55 diagnosed diabetics.
Okay, and the program is working with to work with those students, but are we also looking at those who are at risk? I don't know how to say that gently. There are certain people have a higher risk. Are we tracking that? Is that something? You know what I'm trying to say, right?
Well, that's a good question, actually, and I think that would almost speak to our extensive development of the programming through the PEP grant that we did. I would say that essentially what we did over the last several years was a very extensive analysis and development of physical education and health education coordinated along with health services. So I would say that piece of it, that assessment piece and that prevention piece, was addressed in the last several years. As far as individual students, each student that may be potentially at risk or of concern to health services, the nurses, a few of them who are here tonight, reach out to the families. And we actually collaborated with Stony Brook University a couple of years ago, and we have a working relationship with some of the programs at Stony Brook University as well for students at risk in terms of diabetes and heart disease and what we can do on the prevention end and also on the outreach end to assist the families so that they can get access to care if they need to.
All right,
does that answer the question?
It does. That's great. You guys are doing a great job, as always. Thank you.
Thank you. I've also been asked to... Oh, sorry.
I just want to know, do you tie in also with food services? I know maybe with the older children who are diagnosed that they want to see the carbs and they want to see the proteins and stuff in the foods that we're serving. Are we doing that for them so they
Very
can kind of self?
So. Yes.
Okay, we are.
Yes. Every day. Yes. Yes. Our nurses, actually, part of their care of diabetic students for most of them is that they're assessing their carb intake every single day, several times a day prior to their medication administration and also their lunches, their snacks. So the carb books that Marianne has given us actually are very helpful. And the nurses actually calculate the doses of medication based on the doctor's order, based on the carbs. And there's a whole carb count that's given to us by food service. So, yeah, there is a coordination. Yeah. Marianne has actually given presentations at some of our schools and is also available at any time to even specifically look at carb counting, whatever it is that we do.
Before we have another full stop, any other questions?
Anything? I'm sorry. I keep
moving. No, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I've also been asked to provide an update of the New York State Education Department guidance for school nurses regarding Narcan administration that we've been talking about for a few months now. I'd like to introduce John Martin. John, if you don't mind. John Martin is the senior public health educator for Suffolk County Department of Health, Division of Preventive Medicine, and the Office of Health Education. John is the provider of the Narcan training for Suffolk County. He's actually worked very closely with our district for many, many years with our health education department, with health services, and he has invaluable expertise in health education that he's provided to us. Stephanie Sloan is here tonight as well, who is the senior drug abuse educator from the Suffolk County Department of Mental Health, along with Lori and the health educators and the substance abuse counselors and health services. We've been all actively involved, as you know, in the substance abuse education program. So anyway, tonight I'm happy to report, as you know, that as of April of this year, Public Health Law 3309 has been amended, and that new education law 922 was added to include school districts as eligible participants in the opioid overdose prevention program. Essentially, what that means is that the state is now rewriting the law to include school districts as eligible to participate in Narcan training and administration. They've also informed school nurses that as of August, the guidance will come from state ed as to how we will proceed with our training and implementation. So the law was amended. The state ed has put out the announcements that they're going to be giving us the guidance, and they're telling us that we're going to have it in August. John and I have already made plans tentatively for August 31st to do the training. So even though we haven't actually gotten the guidelines yet, the state is already telling us, it's already posted on the state ed site, that it's going to be coming in August. And so we're sort of one step ahead, and we've already set the date for the training for the nurses. And so we're really set as far as that goes. We just have to wait to see what kind of collaborative agreements or whatever it is that the state ed will require us to comply with, but we're good to go. So that's it. That's the latest. So, John, thank you. And I brought John with me in case you have any questions for myself or John as far as Narcan or the training. He's available
to
answer questions.
Sure, there's just a few questions. Mike?
First, Natalie, we're planning to train all our nurses. Is that the plan right
now? That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any, and maybe John knows, is there any type of grants or program that the county has that where they can provide us the Narcan?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, we. Thanks for having this conversation. Yeah, we're going to provide all the Narcan and the training, free of charge. We work collaboratively, the health department, with Natalie Zano. She's legendary, and in many different areas, STD and HIV, and she and I have had this conversation about how to get Narcan into the school district as a life saving tool, God forbid, in case it was needed. For over a year, and we came up on, as you know, the laws have not kept up with the actual real-time need until now. And that's, with a collaborative effort with Senator Boyle and our office and Natalie calling, the state board. So the laws have not kept up, but we have plowed forward anyway and have trained many teachers and station personnel and there's a training coming up at the Middle Country Library on May 21st. Legislator Graff, has had that and any local person is welcome to come. But when it comes to this program, we get ours from the state. It's actually Bob DeLaghi's program. He enlisted our help because he got overwhelmed. So he trained all the first responders, all the Suffolk police, and then he called on us to reach the low-hanging fruit of the lay people, and we've trained over 1,800 in the last 8 months, and all the schools. So, because we're the school-based education program for Suffolk County, the Office of Health Education, where we take on that task. So when we set up an August 31st date to train the nurses, hopefully go to the Nursing Association. We're planning to go east and west, and obviously what Sachem wants, Sachem gets. We'll come right here and only do Sachem, but we're looking to train all the nurses in all the Suffolk schools, you know, in groups so that they all start at the same point. And all that, the Narcan will be provided free of charge as long as the state keeps giving it to us. At some point, I'm guessing the state will stop, and there are already about 35 states that are moderating their laws. It's over the counter in Rhode Island now, and I'm guessing within a year it will be here in New York, and that will then cost $26 up to $46, depending on what kind of deal. That means somebody could walk into CVS or a Walgreens and purchase this medication. But for now, we're providing it free because the state provides it to us for free. It'll be a 3-year shelf life, and we'll renew it as it's needed. My pleasure.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I have some handouts that I'll leave with Natalie and give it to you. It's the overview of the Narcan, all the stuff that we give the, you know, the trainees, and you'll have that for yourself. Good.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, Sal. Tonight is a public hearing. It's a legal requirement that we give a brief overview on the proposed budget. As I know many community members have received the flyer at home, we have the information on the table outside. For a more in-depth discussion, we're inviting the community to the budget meetings where we've had, and we had one this past Monday, and there's one tomorrow in this room at 7 o'clock. The brief overview, because the budget is brought in within a tax cap, and we're eligible for the New York State rebate of this year's tax increase combined with next year's tax increase, the tax freeze legislation ensures that the community would actually pay a zero tax increase. The budget is a rollover budget, except for these few items. Maintains all academic programs, maintains all athletic programs, music and drama, all extracurricular activities. The three changes are changing the Seneca Middle School times, similar to the high school times, elimination of, the student accident, and of the early daily runs. On the flyer describes what would happen if the budget is defeated. There are items that must be taken out, about $3 million. The budget itself went up 0.6% or less than 1%, and the budget vote is May 19th at all elementary schools from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's basically the budget overview. If somebody would like to hear more budget information, they could come tomorrow, or all the budget information is on our website.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay. Jonathan?
So, Bruce, just to reiterate, if somebody is voting for the budget this year, if they go out on May 19th and vote, we're keeping it in the tax cap this year, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's the legislation, that the person will get a rebate check equal to the value of this year, this current year's increase plus next year's increase.
Plus, yeah. Okay. Great. We have some recognitions?
Yes. We moved the presentations up from the end of the agenda so we could accommodate some folks who had to get home. So now we have the recognition. So I'd like to ask Michelle Savickas to come up for the first recognition.
Competition is really a big deal because they compete a couple hours doing upstyles and different technical skills, and they are judged by judges that come in from the industry, and they did a great job, and we're just very proud of them. Congratulations.
Guys, if everybody can just back up just a touch. There we go. All right, guys, everybody's going to look right here at me, just like that. I'm going to take a nice couple of pictures, guys, just like that. Perfect. A couple more times, guys. Just like that. Two more. One more, guys. Perfect. Thank you.
If I could ask our high school principals to come up for the next recognition.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. We'd like to present the valedictorian certificates to the East and North students for the 2015 graduating class. We're going to start with Sachem East. I'd like to call up Jeffrey By. I'd like to say a few words about Jeffrey. Besides crashing board meetings, he does pretty well in school also. he's a modest, down-to-earth young man. He stands out as a top-ranking senior in a graduating class of 554. He received a perfect score on 4 out of 5 SAT-2 exams and a perfect score on his math SATs. His leadership and extracurricular involvement set him up to be basically a legend in the making at Sachem East. What has impressed me about Jeffrey are the relationships he's developed at Sachem, not only with the diverse student body we have, but also with the faculty and staff members. He relates to teachers because of his maturity and has the natural ability to make a positive impact on his peers. Not only has he proven to be an outstanding scholar in all 5 academic areas, but he also won honors awards as a College Board AP Scholar this year and received a perfect score at NISMA on the piano level 6 and on bass level 6. He's also involved with the math competition team, Brookhaven National Lab Gifted Math Program, and is president of the student government, president of the National Honor Society, president of the National History Honor Society, just to name a few. Overall, Jeffrey By has worked hard to be where he is today, and he credits his family, school, and community for his success. Jeff will continue to thrive at the University of Pennsylvania, where he will attend the prestigious Wharton School of Business to study finance. We would like to wish Jeffrey By all the best in the future, because we know we will be very bright. Congratulations, Jeff.
President Trippi, members of the board, Mr. Nolan, members of his cabinet, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the valedictorian of the class of 2015 at Sachem North, Ms. Megan Loist. I know how much Megan hates this right now, so we're going to milk it a little bit. And Megan is a truly outstanding and extraordinary individual. Being number one can represent many things, but to Megan, it represents all of her hard work and dedication to her studies, sincerity, and understanding towards others, and her overall academic talent and extracurricular excellence. Megan has continually and consistently achieved success in all she does at Sachem North. Megan is a true leader both in and out of the classroom. Whether it is serving as president of the Business and Marketing National Honor Society or leading her team on the field as the senior captain of our girls' varsity soccer team, Megan is poised, organized, and ready to take on any challenge that comes her way. Megan possesses a huge heart and a high level of compassion for others and has devoted countless hours to volunteer work for causes such as the Lighthouse Mission, Habitat for Humanity, and Stony Brook Hospital. This Dirty Dozen North Food Drive member is not afraid to work all night if it means helping others. As a recipient of Principal's Excellency Awards in Math, Science, English, and Italian, Megan is a young lady that sets standards very high for herself and is ready and prepared for whatever the future challenges hold. This fall, Megan will begin her studies in business management and finance at Boston College. Megan has left such a positive and lasting impression on all of us here at Sachem North. We are very proud of her accomplishments, and we wish her well as she enters into the new chapter of her life. And I do want to take a minute because Megan allowed me to make, well, it might have been the best decision I've ever made as principal of Sachem North. When Megan was in eighth grade, I got a phone call from this woman, lovely woman, Mrs. Loist. And Megan was being, let's just say, wooed by several high schools. Megan had choice, and Mr. Brezak mentioned it before, and it kind of piggyback on the fact that what we really love about public education is its diversity, and we embrace everyone. But Mrs. Loist, being a good parent, wanted to explore her options. And she said, would Megan be allowed to come and visit Sachem North? And what I did was I said, she can certainly come. And I said, she can walk around all day long. And I stayed away from her because I didn't want to annoy her because it sounded like she was a girl with a lot of talent. And Megan, that was the beginning of a wonderful relationship. And I can't help but think that if Megan hadn't walked in for a visit and felt the magic that is Sachem, who knows? She might have been the valedictorian somewhere else, but we're extremely proud of her. We're extremely proud of Jeffrey. Megan, you deserve all the accolades. We're going to see a lot at the award ceremony. It is with great pride and pleasure that I present to you our valedictorian, Miss Megan Loist.
Everybody's going to look right here at me. Just like that, guys. A couple more times. Two more, guys. One more. Perfect. Thank you, guys.
And I'll ask Mr. Manzo to do the next two recognitions, please.
If Mr. Panassi can please join me up in the front, please. Sit. Good evening. As you know, Mr. Panassi is currently the principal over at Sequoia Middle School. He has recently been recognized as the Suffolk School Library Media Association 2015 Administrator of the Year. That's a great accomplishment. He has done a lot for our library program here at Sequoia Middle School. We want to thank Frank for his outstanding support and encouragement of Sequoia School Library Program. On behalf of the Sachem School District, we want to extend our thanks to you for all you have done to improve the library and its relationship to the community. Thank you.
Yep.
You can offer if you want. If you want. We'd like to ask Ms. Boucher to join us.
Guys, everybody's looking right here at me. Just like that, guys. A couple more times. Two more, guys. One more. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Congratulations. Good job. For the next recognition, I'd like Stephanie McIntosh to join me in the front, please. Hey, Steph. As you know, Stephanie is our Director of Federal Funds, and she also wears many other hats within the district. She has spearheaded our leadership program here at Sachem and has done some wonderful things for our students and community. She was recently recognized and presented the Outstanding TESOL Administrator of the Year Award by the Long Island Committee of ESOL Education. Please join me in congratulating Stephanie McIntosh for being a recipient of this prestigious award and thanking her for her exemplary service to our English language learners. Thanks, Steph.
Before we go on to the visitor section, I'd just like to announce that there's voter registration going on in the hallway until Carol, what time, 9:30? 9 o'clock, if anybody's interested, voter registration. We have a few visitors, Kerry Giddens and Christine Lanziata. Thank you. Giddens, I'm not going to talk on the specifics of any particular student, but I was under the impression there was a conversation. We did discuss it. There was a conversation back between district office and Mrs. Giddens. Is that correct, Jim?
Yeah, and just so you know, and I don't want to speak for any of the board members, but I can just say this. It's not that the district does not value programs like this, and it's obviously always at the discretion of the school board. Really, the decision rests in the fact that the last several years – because of our many challenges with budget and class size and things like that, that's really the greatest factor right now. You know, we have situations now where we're losing staff. And, you know, so now when we're really honing in on class sizes and class caps and whether we have to break a section due to an additional student, over the past several years with those challenges, and I don't want to speak for the board, but that really was a main part of our decision in the past several years when it comes to people requesting foreign exchange students. No, and again, I can only speak for the 6 years I've been superintendent. We have had requests over the past several years, and unfortunately, because of the situation we have been in, we have denied those requests. But that's not to say that the district will continue. You know, we certainly value the things you're saying and how those students and our own could benefit. We also, at one point, I know thinking back, we also had a teacher exchange program at one point, which we have not had in a long time.
I'm not sure exactly what the meet. I mean, we did discuss. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm a little confused. Just a question. You said that you were anticipating having her from when to when?
From September.
Okay, because I thought our policy was a full year policy, right? And Paul, when was the last time we actually had a foreign exchange student? It was.
I want to say 06, 07 when I was an AP at North.
So it's been eight or nine years already? Okay.
Direct
Just Paul, how, over the last year, how many requests have we got for foreign exchange? Two or three, is that on average about two or three per year? And that's over the last couple of years? Okay.
Over the past, how many?
2 years.
Ms. Giddens, we understand what the value of this program. We understand the cultural experience. We do value that. We are faced with some very critical, trying issues that we're working our way through. We can continue to discuss this at future board meetings on what we want our official stance to be and what we want to do. Do we want to adjust our policy or continue to have it at board discretion? But for right now, I don't think there's anything more to say on this particular topic. Sir, would you mind just filling out a card, please? I'm sorry. No. I said fill out a card. Oh. I'm sorry.
This sounds a letter.
Yeah.
Could you?
Sir, well, it's not. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, not necessarily out-of-pocket costs, but we're trying desperately under our own financial constraints to keep class sizes down. And if we were to open this up, you know, tonight it could be as simple as one.
No, we're not going to entertain a debate back in here, folks.
But you just hit the nail on the head, and I think that's what we don't want to do, is say, well, we'll accept this young person, but we can only accept so many a year. So after that, currently,
that's
yes.
What we're saying currently, yes. There was a discussion, and our administrators were indicating that they had a conversation with you. So there certainly was a discussion, and I believe the policy also states at the discretion of the board. If I'm not incorrect, Paul, is that? Yeah, sir. No,
Chris, do you know? They can't.
That's not actually. I'm the lawyer for the district. So when you talk about a residency issue, a family cannot take a non-resident student and place them at their home without having some kind of. There would be a custodial order associated with that, or there would be some kind of actual custody situation there where the person is a resident. No, I know, and it's not something where truly the question and answer here isn't meant to be a debate, and nor is it really a judgment as to the value of what you're talking about. But you know, the reality is, as the board and the administration have spoken about, with our own students who are residents in this district, there is a constant struggle financially to strike the balance between class size, our ability to pay, and so forth. And literally, as late as a day before school opens, this board is constantly involved in questioning whether they're going to break a section, hire a new teacher, to accommodate the folks who are residing here. And under those circumstances, it's difficult to say that, you know, they're going to exercise their discretion to allow a foreign exchange student when accommodating the population of residents that exist and pay taxes here is such a challenge under the financial constraints that the state has imposed upon us. So it's not a comment by the board under any stretch of the imagination as to the value of the program that you're talking about. But I also, you know, as the director of the program has mentioned, this is not a new issue. This is something where the very director with whom you sit at the table has come to the district and made some inquiries about placing students here, and this information has been conveyed on many occasions. So I'm sorry that you feel in a way that you've been surprised by it based on your research of the policy, but this is something that the director of your program has had explained, you know, in the circumstances of numerous prior applications. It's not, you know, this is a horribly, horribly stressful financial situation that, you know, has caused these types of difficult decisions to be made. And if you had been here for the budget discussions, and I'm just commenting as the observer of these that preceded this, it's, you know, we're throwing nickels around like manhole covers here. This isn't something that's easy to do under any circumstances, and the hard decisions that are forced upon the board in these these difficult economic times are just, you know, this is one of many.
So thank you. Thank you. Carol, any other visitors? Can I take this card or? Oh, Maria, I'm sorry. Maria Furwerger?
Okay. Good evening, Mr. Nolan, President Trippi, and members of the Board of Education. My name is Maria Fuhlberger, and I am a first grade teacher at Gatelot and one of the vice presidents of the SCTA. I am here to respectfully speak on behalf of my elementary colleagues. Tonight I want to speak to you on a personal level, as well as relating facts to you about the issues concerning our elementary schools. It is the facts that often bring issues to light, but as one goes through life, it is often that personal tug at the heart that will spark one's momentum into making changes for things to be better. Yesterday, as you know, was National Teachers Day. I walked into my school, entered Gatelot, and was amazed at the wonderful job that our PTA did in decorating our building and including each teacher's classroom door. I'll be happy to send it to you. Pete the Cat is my national hero this year. I then walked into my classroom, found a beautiful bouquet of handmade flowers from one of my children, and a box of pinoli cookies that my parents know is one of my favorites. I became teary, and I felt loved, appreciated, and validated for what I have chosen as my life work. Contrary to two of my colleagues down the hall, they most likely in September will not have a job in this district. Although I know that they too felt appreciated as they walked to their classroom door and as all of us went through the building to see how each one of the doors were decorated, their tears were very different from mine. They will not have the opportunity to be part of the Sachem family, an elementary group of teachers this fall. They will have to make it through the rest of the year, and I know they will make it with grace and maintain their professional integrity in teaching their students to the end of the year. Another issue that the elementary school will have to deal with is increased class sizes. I will speak to you in terms of Gatelot. Yes, it sounds okay on the surface to increase by one, but these are the facts. I teach first grade. We have four sections. We have an average of 20 kids per class. All of you were here when I shared about the wonderful work that we've been doing in ELA. With the changes that will take place, these four classes will now become three classes. These classes will now have 27 students in it. Last year, I taught a class of 27 students, plus, because we had special education in our building, I took in two more students. That brought me up to 29 students. Take our third grade classes at Gatelot. Currently, right now, we have an average of 20 students per class. These are classes that are responsible for taking assessments. Next year, with the way the numbers are running, those classes will also have about 28 students per class. That is not quality education. The last thing I would like to address is the issue of no before and after school buses on the elementary level. This definitely will impact our students. I'm coming to you as a Brooklyn kid who is a first-generation American and whose parents did not have money. What I learned in this country was through education, but that was because I was able to walk to my school. I saved 15 cents that my grandfather gave me out of the 25 cents that I had to buy Il Progresso paper, and that was my pocket money, so that I would have the opportunity to take a Brooklyn bus, which at that point cost 15 cents, so that I could attend events that I was able to see were part of the American dream. To some people, that maybe sounds, well, that's old school. But the reality is that we are really limiting opportunities for all of our students by eliminating before and after school buses. And it does hit me on a personal level. How I learned about America and the culture in which my family had made a choice to immigrate to was the opportunities that I was able to take advantage of. I was again able to walk to things. Our students will not have that opportunity. These students will not be able to come to before school music, which includes band, orchestra, before school help, and clubs. In our building, one of the clubs that I graciously handed over to a colleague because of other work that I've chosen to do is Renaissance. On some of those mornings, practically all of fourth and fifth grade attend. I can honestly tell you that will deny our students that opportunity. So as it states on the SACHM website, there will be no changes in elementary schools. But I bring to your attention that there will be changes, and I feel, along with my elementary colleagues, not for the better. I thank you for your attention. Thank you.
Carol, any other visitors? Okay. We'll move on to our business items. We have a consent agenda. For business items 5-1 through 5-2, can I have a motion, please? Mike Asernia, second, please. Second, anybody? Tony Falco, questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We have a consent agenda for personnel items 6A1 through 6D4. Can I have a motion, please? Rob Scavo, Michael Asernia, question, please. Questions or comments? What's that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. I'd like to recognize Lou Antonetti. You got tenure today? It's been a fine addition to our e-staff. Thank you, Jim. Brings us to the top of page 6. Action items. Mini contracts consent agenda for items 711 through 717. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Timo, Michael Isernia. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 7-2, we have an agreement between SACHM School District and Robert Harrington. Can I have a motion, please? Michael Isernia. Second, please. Rob Scavo. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of renewal for real estate asset management. Can I have a motion, please? Michael Isernia. Second. Second, please. Rob Scavo. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of field trips for the 14-15 school year. Can I have a motion, please? Michael Isernia. Second. Tony Falco. Questions or comments? All in favor? Aye. Questions, Dorothy?
Yeah, just I had asked Bruce this earlier. I think it was also in our packet. Part of this trip the parents pay for, and I think part of it is also from a grant as well.
You know what? Actually, it's no cost to the district. Motorola is helping to pick up part of it.
Do you have a motion and a second? Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 7-5, disciplinary suspension for non-instructional staff member. Can I have a motion, please? Michael Isernia. Second, please. Tony Falco. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of chaperones for the 2015 senior class trip. Can I have a motion, please? Rob Scavo. Mike Isernia. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of coaching assignments for the 14-15 school year. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Timo. Vic Canales. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of extracurricular clubs and activities for the 14-15 school year. Can I have a motion, please? Michael Isernia. Victor Canales. Questions or comments? Dorothy?
Jim, do you have any idea why they changed this late in the year?
The one person couldn't fulfill the commitment for the rest of the year, so they need somebody to fill in for personal reasons.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 7-9, approval of resolution authorizing Boshi's multi-year service agreement for Internet access. Can I have a motion, please? Michael Isernia. Second, please. Michael Timo. Questions or comments? Robert?
This coach agreement, what is the state aid back on this?
57%.
So we'll get 57% of the total cost back?
In the next one, correct. Okay, one's on the internet and one's on the fiber, correct.
And this is, we've been using them all along?
No, actually this is the first year that we're able to enter into a BOCES multi-year. Through the purchasing office, we've been bidding it out annually. Light Tower's been winning it. This is slight, it's almost the same exact cost. Light Tower was $78,000 for each service. This is almost $68,000, $174,000, but the biggest incentive is the 57% state aid we'll get back next year.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 7-10, approval of resolution authorizing both BOCES multi-year service agreement for fiber WAN project. Michael Timo, Vic Canales, questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 7-11, approval of tax anticipation notes not to exceed a choke on $100 million. $100 million for the 15-16 school year. Questions? Motion, please. Let me do a motion. Mike, Rob Scavo, Mike Isernia. Question, Dorothy.
Bruce, this is the TAN that we do each year, correct? And all it is just to have money to be able to pay for certain things before the tax revenue comes in, correct?
The first payment is due in January, so from July 1st to January, we have to borrow money until residents pay their first tax bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Michael, I'll show you.
Bruce, our credit rating, we're still the same as last year?
Correct. Well, we didn't go out for it yet, but I assume it'll be the same as last year.
And what was the interest rate last year on the bonds for this year? Remember what it was?
These are extremely low because it's a one-year note.
Right.
It was 0.002. We borrowed $78 million.
And we budgeted for the anticipated interest we need to pay?
Correct. Same.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 7-12, recommendation on committee on special education. Can I have a motion, please? Michael Isernia. Second, please. Rob Scavo. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Any questions on the determinations on Committee on Preschool Education? Nope. Any Board of Education subcommittees like to address the board? Nope. Any other updates to the board? Dorothy?
The audit committee has a meeting set up. Bruce, what is it, the 13th, May 13th?
Correct.
That we're going to be meeting with one of the auditors so we can come back with the results after that.
Great. Maybe we can schedule that for the meeting in June if they have something. Any other updates to the board?
Nope.
Anybody like to discuss any board goals? Carol, any other visitors? Any future agenda items, folks? Dorothy? Michael? Somebody?
Our next meeting is now, not till June, right?
Our next board meeting is until June. We have the budget vote May 19th. Yes, we have the vote. We are there as a board. That is the next meeting. Yes, it's a public meeting. Dorothy, did you have something?
I just wanted to, I know that we had talked previously about possible school closings, and that after the budget, after we had the budget discussions, we were going to move forward with that and start discussing it. So I don't know if we're going to possibly put that on some of the board meetings coming up or how we want to work that out. Do we want to put it out there, or
what?
Western Suffolk BOCES offers a COSER demography. Eastern doesn't offer it. We're interviewing their staff on Monday, and then we'll make a presentation to the board with the person from BOCES. It's $28,000. So they would be assisting us like we had Wayne for the last few years. We would contract with Western Suffolk BOCES. The interview's on Monday.
So, Sal, what direction are we moving in with this?
What I would recommend we do, and I'm one of nine, is during the June meetings discuss exactly how we want to proceed with this, whether we want to get another demographer in, whether we want to do this, and then July 1st we hit the ground running and we meet on this through the summer and through until we reach a decision or no decision, wherever the ultimate conclusion would be. But my suggestion would be in June, nail down exactly what we're going to do, publicize it, and then start those meetings over the summer.
Okay.
Great. Any other future agenda items? Nope. Okay, our next meeting, as we said, is on May 19th. That's an official meeting. The board is going to adjourn to go into executive session two.
For the purposes of collective negotiations, real property matters, and particular confidential personnel matters.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, folks.